Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's October 26, 2020, live to be rebroadcast October 28, 2020 on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. During the pandemic, we are not broadcasting in the Yukon Student Union. Instead, we are broadcasting live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut on Mondays at 10 o'clock a.m. on Facebook Live. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. How you like my Yukon wear? That's my new theme. It's second week of wearing a Yukon t-shirt.
Well, it's almost that time.
Go Huskies. You know, go for basketball. Huskies,
for basketball and stuff. And that looks like a Christmas one.
It does, kind of, doesn't it?
Is it a Christmas one? You've got like reindeer and snowflakes and Christmas trees on there.
I'm not sure where I got it.
I don't know.
I could have gotten it at Kohl's or I'm not sure. Anyway, so I thought I'd show my Yukon colors, even though I haven't been up there. Yes, Yukon women's basketball, go. Mm. And so a couple things. It's going to be Halloween this Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's kind of exciting. When we do our bike rides this Saturday, well, I guess I don't know if you're going to ride your bike unless you ride your bike to the transfer station.
Yeah, I might. So, you never know.
But you might want to dress up for your job
possible.
At the transfer station. That would be very
possible.
Funny.
Yeah. That would
yes,
be
yep. If they saw a vampire taking their money at the transfer station, that would be very humorous. It, you know, it would make people's day.
It'd be
day.
Really hard to be out during the daylight, though.
Right, yeah. I know, but you'll have to wear special vampire glasses.
Right.
Yeah,
there
like
you go.
Cool shades or something.
Alrighty.
It's going to be Halloween. I bet some of you are wondering, am I going to trick or treat? Am I going to dress up? What am I going to do? And are you going to eat a little bit of candy? We haven't really bought any extra candy. I mean, we have candy in the house. But
do we need extra candy?
No. I'll probably buy you a Reese's, but I often buy you a Reese's.
Mm.
So, you know, which we try to vigorously work off by riding on the rail trail. But if you're going to do Halloween gatherings, you need to be really careful. I don't know if ordinary trick-or-treating is even happening this year. It's probably not a good idea. Unfortunately, we have bad news. And that's that cases are rising everywhere, including here in Connecticut. And so you have to be really careful. Why is this happening? And the main reason it seems to be happening is because people are letting down their guard and they're gathering with their families. They're gathering indoors and they're hanging out with each other in ways that are not really conducive to keeping the virus at bay. And so the number one way that this virus spreads, unfortunately, is by aerosols. And so aerosols happen when you are breathing and you are letting out very tiny droplets of with your breath. And so if people are exposed for at least 15 minutes in close contact with the aerosol, then they're more likely to catch the virus, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Now, you can mitigate this by wearing a mask, by staying far away from people, and by making sure you don't get into gatherings, don't get into public spaces where there are a lot of people, and don't participate in close gatherings. So gatherings inside homes where there are a lot of people are really not a good idea. If you're going to gather in people's houses, you want to wear masks, you want to stay away from each other, and you might want to rethink even doing it at all.
Mm.
Now, of course, if you want to have some fun with your kids and dress up for Halloween, you may either want to stay in your friendly bubbles or stay with your family and do things like that or do outdoor activities. And, you know, you might want to give them a few treats and maybe let them trick-or-treat around the house and certainly celebrate the season and dress up and make it fun like that. I know for me, I'm going to try to do something special on Saturday. I'll probably put on Wonder Woman or Harley Quinn on my bike, something like that, and, you know, do my bike ride that way. And, you know, I'll do some kind of observance that way. So you don't want to let the season go and you don't want to avoid celebrating, But right now, getting together in people's houses is not a good idea. And getting together in closed spaces, especially if you're unmasked, that's how this thing is spreading. It's not as bad as in the central Midwest. And the central Midwest, we think the uptick in cases is because of, unfortunately, because of that Sturbridge motorcycle rally.
Sturgis motorcycle rally, where no one wore a mask and the governor of South Dakota marches around without a mask on and a gun in her hand. Gotta love South Dakota.
That's too bad. South Dakota is a beautiful place. I've been
it
there.
It is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Maybe someone should inject a dose of intelligence there.
Oh. All right.
And common sense.
When the state first rolled out the red alert, so there's a red alert classification in Connecticut right now. And they rolled it out a couple of weeks in early October. And there were only 4 municipalities on the list. In the second week in October, there were 11 municipalities on the red alert list. When a municipality reaches red alert, it's averaging at least 15 new daily cases per 100,000 residents and is legally permitted to roll back to phase 2 reopening restrictions if it chooses. And the state recommends that residents of high-risk towns get coronavirus tested regularly and cancel gatherings with anyone outside their households.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this article was written on October 22nd, which is October 22nd. Today's the 26th, so that was 4 days ago. So here are, I'm going to list off the states that are now considered to be hot, not the states, the towns that are considered to be hot spots where there are more than 15. So the definition is at least 15 new cases daily per 100,000 residents. So here's the list. It's Canterbury. This is in alphabetical order. It's in no particular rank order, except it's in alphabetical order. Canterbury, beautiful little Canterbury. We love to ride our bikes there. Danbury, East Hartford, Fairfield, Griswold, Groton, Hartford, Lisbon, Montville, Norwalk, Norwich, New London, Plainfield, Prospect, Salem, Sprague, Waterbury, Waterford, and
what
Windham
happened east of us because
yes.
Canterbury was clean.
All these teeny tiny
they
places
were absolutely clean. Canterbury and
little
and
rural
Scotland
places:
were both
Canterbury,
clean.
Griswold, Lisbon,
amazing.
Norwich. These little tiny places: Salem, Sprague. What the heck? What's going on in Sprague?
And as I said, they were all clean.
I know. And yeah. So all of a sudden they're seeing an uptick in cases. Scotland is still not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But so if you live in any of those towns, they're recommending that you don't gather with anybody outside your household and get tested a lot. And I wonder if we need to consider ourselves as part of Windham because we enter into Windham a lot because, you know, we're just over the border. You know, we want people to be aware of what's going on in their communities. So we need a lot of prevention. So we don't want you to panic, but we want you to be really careful. It's just a trend that's just going up too high and too fast. So one of the things that's happening is people are questioning when they get symptoms and they're wondering if they have allergies or do they have COVID-19. So I thought I'd address that.
That's a good one.
I know, right? Because a lot of people are considering that. And we're talking to people, like I talk to people who have a longstanding runny nose and they have a lot of sneezing and clear nasal discharge. And they're wondering, oh my gosh, do I have COVID or do I have allergies? So here's the deal. The big difference is the runny nose and sneezing. This time of the year, there's still a tiny bit of ragweed pollen. The ragweed pollen is probably not much of a factor right now. We're already almost at the end of October. And if you look at the numbers for the amount of ragweed pollen in the air, it's really not very high at all. If you're sneezing and blowing your nose from allergies, it's likely to be a few things. It could be mold from dying and decaying leaves and plant matter. because leaves become damp and can grow mold. And when we walk or ride our bikes in them, we disturb them, which can kick up their dust. Then you're more likely to breathe it in. The other thing is indoor dust and mold. When you first turn on the heat, mold and dust that have been sitting since April get blown out into the air. And until that clears, you may do some extra sneezing. The other thing is that you're likely reaching for cold weather clothing that you may not have worn since April or May, and it's been sitting collecting dust, especially if it's outerwear, sweatshirts, or cover-ups, things you don't automatically wash after one wearing. If you don't want to put all of your sweatshirts, sweaters, and cover-ups in the wash all at once, wear them once and then wash them after wearing them the first time. Mold and dust tends to calm down once we have a longer spell of freezing weather. And so if you're sneezing even though it rained, that's probably a mold issue because when the dampness increases mold spores.
And we have a lot of leaves down right now too.
Yes, so, a lot of leaves. Yeah. A lot more leaves went down in the last few days. There was a few wind gusts and it brought a lot of leaves down. When we were riding yesterday, we saw a lot of leaves on the trails and the roads. And I certainly saw more leaves on Saturday when I was riding. So allergies and coronavirus have different symptoms. They're pretty much. I mean, they're not entirely different. But mostly they are. So runny nose and itchy eyes generally is not a symptom of COVID-19. If you have a cough, fatigue, and a fever, you might have COVID-19. If you have the same symptoms you get every year for allergies, where you feel a little run down, you don't have a fever, you have an excessively runny nose, and maybe itchy eyes, that's probably your seasonal allergies. It could also be a seasonal flu. But again, seasonal flu, you're going to feel a lot worse. You're going to tend to have aches. You're going to tend to have a fever, and you're really not going to feel very well. So, Ron, when you have a bad outbreak of symptoms, what symptoms do you have?
As far as allergies go?
Yeah.
I get a headache because of the congestion that I have, and I get a lot of congestion, and I sneeze a lot. Just a lot of dripping and congestion and all that. That's primarily what it is, and it's almost always related towards my sinuses.
And when you have the nasal discharge, what color is your discharge?
It's usually in a case, right? But it's usually clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And is it thick or thin?
Can be both.
Oh, okay.
Can be both. Depends on the situation. But yeah.
Okay. So you can have various symptoms. When you, it could seem like you have the coronavirus, you could have seasonal allergies or influenza or even just an ordinary cold. Unfortunately, the thing to do is if you start to feel achy and feverish, you should go get tested for COVID. Chances are you don't have it. Why is that? Because most people don't have it. Because the case rate, while it's increasing in the state of Connecticut, the case rate's still only around 3%. So that means you have a 97% chance. If you're sick, you have a 97% chance that it's not COVID.
Right.
And we have had people, I had a few patients lately who were exposed. Somebody at a gathering that they were at was positive for COVID. And so they went and got tested. And then they started to not feel well, and they started to feel a little run down and like they're having a flu-like illness. Got tested for COVID, and they didn't have it. So there's still stuff going around. It's not COVID. There are a lot of symptoms of cold, flu, and COVID that are similar, and it can be hard to distinguish. They can all be caused by viruses, and different viruses can cause different infections. So the thing with COVID-19, the big thing that's different about COVID-19 is you'll get shortness of breath, that you have a hard time breathing because those viruses set up in your lungs and they make it so that the alveoli are rendered less effective. So it's harder to get a breath in. And that's a specific feature of COVID. If you have a regular cold, that's going to tend not to happen. Even if you have bronchitis that's not caused by COVID, you're generally not going to get shortness of breath. You're just going to get a bad cough. The flu does mimic COVID closely, but the shortness of breath is the big distinguishing symptom. Sneezing. If a great feature of whatever you have going on is a lot of sneezing, although you can sneeze with COVID-19, sneezing, facial pain, postnasal drip, itchy eyes, those can be symptoms of a cold, and they can be symptoms of allergies, and they're not really typical of COVID-19. So if sneezing is the main thing that you're doing, and it's mostly in your head, and it's not really in your chest, and if you feel achy and feverish, but you have those symptoms, you probably have a cold. And if you have those symptoms and you don't have a fever, and you feel pretty much the same as you usually do when you have your allergies, then you probably have allergies. And so if you have any doubt at all, you should get tested. And I mean, if you're having irregular allergy symptoms, you probably don't have to get tested. But I think the minute that you feel like you have cold or flu-like symptoms, you should go get tested. If you feel sick at all, go get tested, because then you need to know. Because even if you do have a lot of sneezing, if you feel feverish and achy, you could have allergies and COVID. Mm. Or you could have COVID that happens to have sneezing. So if you get a cold this year, just any old cold or flu-like illness, mm-hmm. it's a good idea to go get tested. And there was a while there where testing sites, they weren't testing people as much, or there was if you were asymptomatic, they weren't going to, you know, you're supposed to be a national impetus to pay for everyone's COVID-19 test. That was set up by the CDC. Mm-hmm. So I think that's back in place, that if you go, you can get COVID tested anywhere that there's a testing site available to you, and you're not going to be charged. And so COVID-19 symptoms usually happen either 2 to 14 days after exposure, which is why if you think you've been exposed, you're supposed to quarantine. You can quarantine, and then while you're in the midst of your quarantine, go get tested, and then you may not have to quarantine for as long if you are negative. So the symptoms for COVID to watch out for are fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, sore throat, a new loss of taste or smell. If you have loss of taste or smell anyway, you might not have COVID. And also, if your allergies make you lose your sense of taste or smell, it might not be COVID. And I've seen people test negative for COVID and have an illness where they lost their sense of taste or smell, because that can happen with an ordinary cold or ordinary flu. If you have congestion or runny nose, I know we said the congestion and runny nose is not so much a symptom of COVID, but you want to see it in addition to all those other things. If congestion and runny nose is your main symptom, you probably don't have COVID, but you can't assume. Nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea are symptoms of the flu, and they can also be symptoms of COVID-19. So some people become infected and don't develop any symptoms at all and don't feel unwell. That can still happen. So the thing with allergies have chronic symptoms. They don't go away. They stay around for the duration of your exposure to whatever you're allergic to, or the duration of your season. You know, with COVID-19, you don't start to feel badly until your symptoms start to show up. But allergies are usually chronic. They're off and on, weeks, months, years, the season that you usually get them. You know, if you clean out a closet and then you sneeze for a day, that would be me. That's definitely allergies, because I know I have an allergy to dust and mold. And allergies can also cause wheezing, especially if you have asthma. And allergy symptoms will also vary with your environment. If you're exposed to dust, pollen, animal dander, where cold symptoms will persist, they'll stay around, and then they'll go away. With COVID-19, colds are more likely to have generalized symptoms like fever, headache, and body aches, where allergies will generally only affect your respiratory tract. Which isn't to say that, I mean, aren't there some days that I came home and you needed to take a nap because you were feeling tired from your allergies, right?
Right. But then there's another thing that I was feeling tired from, but we may want to touch base on that one. It was about my thyroid.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's right.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. So shortness of breath, coughing, fatigue, and headache and sore throat can be COVID-19 or allergies. So it's, you have to remember that COVID-19 is not the flu. And there are overlap of symptoms, but the symptoms of COVID-19 are more similar to the flu. The big thing, like I said, is shortness of breath. And if you have a mild case of COVID-19, you just manage your symptoms. And, you know, the so here's a comparison of the symptoms of COVID-19 versus the flu. So the main symptoms of COVID-19 are cough and fever, shortness of breath, and fatigue. You can get these symptoms, but they're less usual. Chills, shaking and chills, headache, loss of taste or smell, muscle aches and pains, sore throat, runny, stuffy nose, nausea or diarrhea. The seasonal flu, you're often going to feel feverish or you'll get a cough. You'll get muscle or body aches, headache, fatigue. And you're more likely to get sneezing with the seasonal flu. You might also get a sore throat, runny, stuffy nose, nausea, and diarrhea. The common cold, generally you'll get sneezing, a stuffy nose, a sore throat, mild to moderate chest discomfort and cough. And less common, you'll get fatigue and body aches. I know when I get a cold, it all depends on what virus you catch, whether you get the fatigue and the body aches. I mean, I almost always, if I'm sick with a cold, I will get tired. The achiness, it depends on the cold. It depends on the virus. With seasonal allergies, you tend to get a runny, stuffy nose, itchy eye, and there's some itching involved. Usually itching is a feature of allergies and a lot of sneezing. And you might also wheeze. You could get shortness of breath if allergies tend to affect your lungs. And the tiredness comes along with not being able to sleep because you have these symptoms. So if you have difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, regardless of the reason, you need to get medical attention. Also, if you have pain or pressure in your chest, because that could be respiratory and it could be your heart. If you have confusion or difficulties waking up and getting out of bed. Also, if you have bluish lips or face, that means you have a lower oxygen saturation, and that could be a sign of COVID-19. So if you have a mild case of COVID-19, it's thought to last about 2 weeks, and the vast majority of cases are mild. That's what we keep saying. 80% of people who get COVID-19, they have no symptoms to little symptoms. The flu... and almost nobody dies of the common cold, and most seasonal allergies are more annoying than dangerous. But COVID-19 causes more fatalities because you can transmit it easily, and the population doesn't have immunity to it because it's relatively new. You want to quarantine for at least 2 weeks if you think you've been exposed to COVID-19, and I would say also get tested. The symptoms to get attention for are shortness of breath, inability to breathe, if you're turning blue, anything that has to do with reduction of oxygen to your bloodstream. If you want to purchase a pulse oximeter, you can buy those. You can get them online. You can get them at drugstores. And then you can test your oxygen level and you can see if there are drops in your oxygen. Sure. Yeah, they're easy. You can buy them. You just put them on your finger and they test your oxygen.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, we could get one, I suppose. Around one out of every six people who gets COVID-19 gets seriously ill and has difficulty breathing. And if you have co-infections, if you have comorbidities, that's more likely to happen. So that's interesting. Anyway, so what do you want to do about your winter allergies?
You know, what can you do? You know, you clean your house and then you...
Yeah, but if you clean your house, you're going to kick up the dust.
Right. But you're going to go through a period of time that you're going to have to, you know, deal with that, I guess.
This room is interesting.
Why is this room interesting?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not going to pick up the tablet and show everybody what's in the room.
No.
The room, the reason we're in this room is because it's small.
Right.
And because it's small, it's minimally echoey.
Right. The acoustics are good in here.
Acoustics are not bad because it is a tiny room and we close the door. The other reason the acoustics are good in here is because there's so much stuff in here.
That's right. So, you know, if I clean the room up, then we're not going to get as good an audio quality.
Well, we could get foam and we can get... tapestries and there's all kinds of stuff we could put in the room. But you're right. The fact that there's this big desk here, there's all these papers, there's that mountain of I don't know what that is over there.
That's a mountain of whatever it is.
And then there's a bookcase behind me and there's
some things over there.
Right. The fact that it's so cluttered actually makes it an ideal place for us to do a podcast. So if you listen to other podcasts, and I've been enjoying a lot of podcasts lately. A couple of my favorites are Ask Me Another from NPR, yep. Ophira Eisenberg, she's my girl, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I look forward to those right. every week. Yep. Sometimes I'll even listen to the reruns. And so I was listening to Ophira yesterday with, and she had John Costas, or no, sorry, Michael Costas and Ronnie Chang on, which was yeah. hysterical. And so you'll hear them joking about how they're broadcasting from their closets.
Right. And this is sort of like Mr. Whoopi's Closet.
Yeah.
If you remember Mr. Whoopi's Closet.
I think that that's...
Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah, right.
You have to go back.
Before my time.
Yeah, before your time. Really? You were before Peabody and Sherman?
Well, you know, wow. I mean, to say that Bugs Bunny is before my time is rough because, you know, they showed reruns of Bugs Bunny and we enjoyed them all through our childhood. So you want to talk about winter allergies since you have them? And
well,
I kind of have them too.
I'm sure. I don't. What do you want me to say?
Well, I'll discuss them and then you can chime in whenever you feel like.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. Wash your dusty clothing worn for the first time. If you have the time and energy to wash a pile of sweatshirts that you haven't been wearing, you could do that. That's probably better than what I'm suggesting. But most, if you are time strapped, I do kind of remember that. I think we watched that. We watched that movie.
It's right up your alley. It really is. I'm showing Fran, just for those of you who are listening, because this is actually a podcast.
That looks like a recent movie, and I think we watched that with Greg a few years ago.
That might be a recent movie, yeah.
Yeah, that looked, because you could see the quality of the graphics are not old-timey.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, if you have a pile of sweaters or a pile of jackets or a pile of sweatshirts and you have the time and energy to throw them all in the wash, and if they are dryer safe, throw them in the dryer because the heat of the dryer will kill dust and mold that's on them. They'll kill the mold spores and it will kill the dust mites that are living on them. If you don't have that kind of time or energy, then what I'd say is when you grab your sweatshirt for the first time, wear it for a day and then throw it in the wash. So you're only going to have sweatshirts that, you know, a few sweatshirts at a time. And eventually they'll all have gone through the wash at least once. And so and the other thing that's nice is as we get more hard freezes, everything seems to calm down. And the big thing that happens is when you get a few hard freezes, the mold quiets down outside. And, you know, there's an allergy threshold. Mm. So... You can make a diagram, and I have a nice handout at my office that has a nice diagram of allergy thresholds. So say you have, and you can just graph it out. So say you have a cat and you're allergic to the cat, and you have the cat in the house and the cat gives you so much allergy. So here's your allergy threshold up here, and then you have allergens from the cat. You have allergens from dust mites. Then you have allergens from you ate some dairy. Then you have allergens from mold. So if enough of these things pile up and based on their quantities and severities, you're over your allergy threshold. Now, if you mitigate some of them, so a few things tend to happen. The mold, when the freeze happens, the mold tends to mostly mitigate. And so now you're closer to your allergy threshold. You take your cat, you don't have a cat anymore, which is sad, but if you do have a cat, and you do some things to improve the cat's health so the cat is less allergenic. So the cat gets to go outside, or you are able to rinse or wipe down your cat every month so reduce the dander. You make sure the cat is eating the healthiest food possible so the cat itself doesn't have allergies. So you can mitigate how allergenic that cat is, believe it or not. So that's something, because, you know, if I say to people, all right, you're allergic to cats, you have to get rid of your cat, they look at me and go, no. So you can't say to them, get rid of your cat. So you have to do harm reduction. You have to do mitigation. So you have to help people make the cat less allergenic. Then they're like, you can make your cat less allergenic. Well, yes, to an extent. If you're severely allergic to the cat, it's only going to go so far. But so when I used to have a cat, I learned that if you rinse the cat in water, not even a bath, but water, monthly, you'll reduce the amount of dander that it produces. So I took my cat and I tried to place the cat in the bathtub in some water.
Don't do that.
The cat nearly killed me. I had major scratches all up and down my arms.
Right.
And so I said, okay, that's not going to work. So what I did was I took a towel and I dipped the towel in warm water. And I made it warm so it wouldn't upset the cat too much. And I kept the cat out of the bathtub. And then I patted the cat down with the warm water, the towel that had been dipped in warm water. And the cat tolerated that. Some cats love water. Some will go in the bathtub and some find water fascinating. It's unusual, but it happens. But my cat was, you know, the higher proportion of cats that said, no, not happening.
Right.
And this cat... But this cat tolerated, and my cat was a very sweet cat. It was a domestic short hair, orange tabby, you know, and they're very lovey cats. And that cat had agreed that if it was going to be my cat, good old Chester, agreed with me that, listen, if you're going to be my cat, you have to let me cuddle and love you as though you're a dog. And he agreed. And I was able to cuddle and love him and kiss him and hold him. And
okay.
He was great. I love Chester. So Chester tolerated me wiping him down with a warm towel, and that was very kind of Chester. All right, so the other thing is you have to deep clean surfaces that haven't been cleaned for a while. So if you just can't even, then hire somebody to do it if you can, or blare some heavy metal music or whatever your favorite music is and have at it, and just spend a day cleaning your house and don't worry about doing anything else. We could do that. The thought of it doesn't excite me. I mean, we sort of spot clean areas that need cleaning regularly. We're pretty good about our bathrooms. And when we see that the floor is getting messy, we sweep it or vacuum it. It's, you know, we're so busy doing other things. This room is mildly scary. So
you're here.
I am here. Yeah. So if you deep clean surfaces, now mind you, if you deep clean surfaces, you might want to wear a dust mask or some kind of a mask because you're going to get dust in your face and you're going to sneeze more. I know for me, when I was switching out my summer clothes for winter clothes, I did a lot of sneezing because I was digging into closets that hadn't been disturbed for a while. So there was dust and I was a little sneezy for a couple of days. HEPA filters. Run a HEPA filter in any room where you spend a lot of time, especially the bedroom. Why the bedroom? Why the bedroom? Because the bedroom is a place where you sleep, and bedroom is ground zero for dust. So the ground zero for dust means that when you're sleeping, you have your face on a pillowcase, and your when your face is on the pillowcase, you're sloughing off skin cells, and the dust mites, that's what they eat. So they're making up a lot of they're consuming your skin cells, and then they're releasing their waste, and their waste is very allergenic. And so dust mite droppings have protein, bacteria, and DNA in them. And all of those things are very allergenic. And that's the thing that people tend to be the most allergic to, dust mite droppings. If you can't afford to put a HEPA filter in every room, then you might want to move it around to wherever you're sitting. And a great place to put it is in your bedroom while you're sleeping, and you'll clear the air out. I am running a HEPA filter in my office in part to pull any possible viruses and bacteria out of the air. And HEPA filters are good at pulling viruses out of the air, which is great. I wouldn't rely on a HEPA filter alone to keep you free of viruses and bacteria, but it can be a nice adjunct to whatever else you're doing. But it really does improve the air quality in any room where you're spending time. And I do recommend it for the bedroom, especially if you're having a lot of symptoms. Teas. Drink warming anti-inflammatory teas like ginger, turmeric. You can have honey too. Honey has, I wouldn't overdo the honey, but having a reasonable amount of honey in a day. Honey has vitamins and minerals. It has a lot of bioflavonoids in it. It's the most nutritious thing for bees. Bees live on it. And so it does have a lot of anti-inflammatory and immune boosting compounds in it. And honey has been studied to work better than cough syrup for coughs. So if you have ginger and turmeric tea with honey in it, that's a great thing to have. If you like to have hot chai tea, I love chai tea. Chai will also have cinnamon and cardamom in it, which are other great anti-inflammatories. And if you want to stay away from caffeine, you can do herbal chai teas. You can get rooibos tea. Rooibos is wonderful. It's rooibos is Afrikaans for red bush. It sounds sort of Dutch, right? So it's properly pronounced rooibos. Rooibos. And it, like I said, it stands for red bush. And the tea is a beautiful red color when you make it. It has a lot of flavonoids in it. It's wonderfully anti-inflammatory. It's good for your immune system. And you can get rooibos chai, and it doesn't have caffeine in it, but it has all those other wonderful spices, ginger, turmeric. It might have turmeric in it. It has cardamom and pepper. That one of the features of chai is that there's some black pepper in it. All great for this time of year. The other thing is to get golden milk, to make yourself golden milk. And
Golden milk?
Yeah. So golden milk is basically where you make a hot beverage that has turmeric and ginger and cardamom and pepper. And depending on what golden milk you're making, you can make it just with turmeric, ginger, and cardamom and black pepper and have that be the basis of your golden milk. You can mix those together and put it in. You can put it in dairy if you're not dairy intolerant. I don't recommend it because whether you're allergic to dairy or not, dairy has been studied to increase allergy symptoms, which is why I keep saying to you, we should probably do a dairy fast at some point and see if our allergies improve.
Yeah.
But it does thicken up mucus in people who don't have demonstrated allergies to it. You put people on dairy, they get mucusy, and you take them off dairy, and their mucusiness improves. And ask anybody who sings or speaks for a living that dairy increases their level of mucus. So if you're going to make golden milk, I would recommend using a dairy substitute. Use coconut milk or... Now, I am on an oat milk kick, and I might look up the benefits of oat milk because I'm on such a kick. I'm really enjoying having oat milk in my coffee, my tea, on its own, flavored. I'm really enjoying it. But coconut milk, oat milk, almond milk, you pick your dairy substitute. Cashew milk is very tasty because anything fatty is going to taste really nice with this stuff. And then if you put honey in, it's even nicer. And if you have golden milk around bedtime because it's calming and anti-inflammatory, it can help you sleep. And so have it without caffeine. I mean, you can make a chai with golden milk in it, but it's going to rev you up a little bit because of the black tea or green tea if you have green tea chai. But if you have it on its own with no caffeine in it, it's very relaxing. And so you could have a warm beverage before bed, and it's lovely. So you can get it. You can get golden milk powder pre-made, or golden milk with some coconut oil in it pre-made, and you can put the herbs together yourself if you want to. Nettles and eyebright. I love nettles and eyebright. So nettles. The only thing about nettles and eyebright, this is not the nettle time of year. The nettle time of year is spring, and yet nettles and eyebright can still be helpful because nettles is a mast cell stabilizer. So when you have allergy symptoms, your mast cells that used to be your eosinophils in your blood, and then they cross into your tissues, and now they become mast cells because there's something magic about leaving your blood and going into your tissues. They change their name from eosinophils to mast cells, just like monocytes change their name when they leave your blood and go into your tissues and they become macrophages.
Oh, my God.
It's the name barrier. Yeah. So anyway, so mast cells become stabilized. Nettles help with that, and they're really nice. And so another thing that's helped stabilize mast cells is quercetin. And quercetin you can take as a supplement separately. You can take its highly absorbable and usable relative isoquercetrin, which you can find in a lot of supplements now. You can also take quercetin methylchalcone, which is supposed to be more absorbable than plain quercetin. You can also take quercetin phytosome. Anything that's a phytosome has been attached to phosphatidylcholine, and phosphatidylcholine is a phospholipid. Your cell membranes love phospholipids because it's part of their structure. So anytime your cells see a phospholipid that tends to grab onto it, And so anything that's attached to that phospholipid will get into the cells more readily. So if you see quercetin phytosome or quercetin methylchalcone or isoquercetrin, you're going to get more bang for your buck from that quercetin. Quercetin is a lovely detoxifier, and it is a mast cell stabilizer along with nettles. Eyebright is a really interesting herb, and I always thought, well, what's so special? What's so weird? Why would eyebright know to get into your eyes? But it does.
Really?
So if one of your major symptoms for your allergies is eye irritation, you can take eyebright. Eyebright has flavonoids that have an affinity for the eyes. So nettles and eyebright are really nice. Do you get itchy eyes with your allergies?
Always.
Yeah. So we have nettle eyebright stuff in the house that you can take if you want to. I don't know if
my eyes get really itchy.
I don't know if you know where it is. Do you know where it is?
I wouldn't know where to begin to look.
All right. So
if you think my office is a mess.
We'll find it. It's not a mess. You just have to look. All right. Vitamin C is a mast cell stabilizer, too. So vitamin C is actually a very helpful vitamin, in case you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin C is concentrated in the adrenal gland. So your adrenals are part of what runs your immune system. And the First Nation people and the indigenous people of probably all over the world, but definitely in North America, knew that when they found settlers who had scurvy, they're like, all right, come with me. And they get an animal that was down. They knew where to find the adrenals. They said, here, eat this. And the settlers would be gross. And they'd be like, no, eat this. And they would eat it, and then they get better because the adrenals concentrate vitamin C. So vitamin C is very good for your adrenals. It's very good for your collagen structure in your muscles and tendons. And it's also good for the collagen structure in the lining of your respiratory tract and your digestive tract. So if you have extra vitamin C on board, you're going to strengthen the collagen, the lining of your respiratory tract, and it helped to make it more impervious to allergens and viruses and bacteria. That's why having adequate vitamin C is a really good idea. My goodness. So we went to see some delightful friends last night, and we had a socially distanced outdoor dinner, which was very nice. They got vegetarian Indian food with a lot of like good spices, ginger and cardamom and hot pepper. So really great food. And I said, what can I bring? And she said, why don't you bring a nice fruit plate? So I did. And I went to one store and the oranges were coming out of Chile and South Africa. So I decided to go to my friendly local food co-op to see if they had any domestic oranges, and they did. So I'm not sure if the domestic oranges were coming out of Florida or California at this time, but I got these lovely Valencia oranges. So I guess Valencia is going to be California because Valencia is in California in the United States. I mean, Valencia is originally in Spain, Valencia anyway. But I'm not sure if these particular Valencia oranges were coming from Florida or California. They were awesome. They were so good. They tasted so fresh. I hadn't had an orange in a while, and they tasted really nice. So if you can get, like I said, if you're allergic to citrus, then I wouldn't recommend getting citrus. If you are dedicated to only eating produce that grows locally, you're probably not going to want to consume citrus. And I feel like the thing is, we consume all kinds of produce out of season, because it's healthful. And I think that if people, you know, before there was refrigeration and storage, if people could have eaten produce out of season, they would have. And that's what we're pickling and canning and preserving comes from. So that's a way to eat it all through the season. So I think if you have a way to get produce from another region that makes you healthier, that it's okay. That's my perspective. If you don't agree with that because you're you follow a protocol where you avoid fruit that's out of season and not local, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. If you're able to get your nutrients another way, that's great. If you don't have food allergies or sensitivities, or it doesn't harm your body to consume citrus at this time, the thing is with citrus is that it's ripening in Florida now, and it's going to be ready in Florida. If it's not ready already, it's going to be ready soon. And Florida's not that far from here, so you're not going to have that bad of a transition from getting from Florida to here. This is a good idea to get Florida, a good time to get Florida citrus. So we had these Valencia oranges, and they were magnificent, and so we're going to get good vitamin C. Mind you, you don't have to get vitamin C from citrus at all. You can get it from kiwi fruit, which also doesn't grow here, and strawberries, which are out of season. So what's in season that peppers, the season is ending for a lot of things, but peppers are a good source of vitamin C. And the if you're eating spicy peppers, the hot notes, the capsaicin in peppers is really good for your blood vessels, and it's vasodilating, so it can help you to open up your respiratory passages and your nasal passages because it improves circulation. So hot peppers not only have vitamin C, but they can help you to breathe better. And so kiwi fruit has vitamin C. All kinds of berries have vitamin C, especially strawberries. Make sure if you do strawberries that you get them organic. They are coming in organic from California now, and in a couple of months they'll come in from Florida. Plantsville, Florida, is full of strawberries. And so you get, and again, if they're coming from Florida, I'm not as concerned if they're coming from South America. The issue with South America, now Chile has amazing growing conditions. The only thing is I'm concerned about the pesticide levels if they're not organic. So getting your vitamin C on board is a really good idea. And vitamin C is something that can strengthen your respiratory passages and make your and improve your symptoms. Vitamin C also improves the functioning of your white blood cells. Vitamin D, you want to make sure your vitamin D level is optimized to help your allergies. It helps your whole immune system, but it does help your allergies. If you can get your doctor to test your vitamin Z level, that would be really good. In the time of COVID, our thinking is that we want to see your vitamin D level between 30 and 45 nanograms per milliliter. And any doctor who can order blood work for you can order that test. And so the thinking is that we certainly don't want you to be low in vitamin D because you won't have enough. There are studied to be worse outcomes for COVID-19 if your vitamin D level is not optimized. And you don't want to be too far above 45 because of the concern that your immune system can overact. And one of the things that happens with COVID-19 is that cytokine storm. So you want to, there's a sweet spot for vitamin D. And so I'm trying to tune my patients in to be between 30 and 45 nanograms per milliliter. Take any herbs that tend to help you feel better overall when you're having your allergy symptoms. So there are herbs that are known as adaptogens. Adaptogens help you to adapt to your environment, so they help your whole body. And you may know that there are herbs that help you. In particular, I can certainly suggest some. Holy basil is a nice one. Holy basil is another herb. It's also known as tulsi in Ayurvedic medicine. So you can get tulsi tea at the health food store or even at the supermarket. And tulsi will come by itself or it'll come in other flavors. It has kind of a minty taste because it's basil. It's a variety of basil. And that's but I feel like it tastes a little bit more like a mild mint than it tastes like actual basil. But that's what it is. And you can get it in blends with other things. Ashwagandha is very popular now. Ashwagandha is nice because it's a whole body tonic. We think of it as a type of Indian ginseng. But as we do holy basil and ashwagandha together, we think of them both as they're similar to ginseng in their properties. Ashwagandha we think of as more calming. People who have anxiety take ashwagandha and it does tend to calm them down. And all of these things help to improve hormonal function and they also improve immune function. Ginseng. So we're talking about Panax ginseng and also American ginseng. So Panax ginseng is the species, and then there's Panax quinquefolius, which is American ginseng. And both of them, we think of Panax ginseng as a little more stimulating. Panax ginseng is a little more tonifying. And they both help to regulate blood sugar and is in addition to helping your whole immune system and your energy system. Eleuthero I think of as more tonifying. It used to be called Siberian ginseng. Great for blood sugar regulation. And it's really great for your immune system. Eleuthero has been studied to work as well as echinacea in helping to treat and protect against colds. Hmm. And then there's Oplopanax, which is Devil's Club. No, yes, Devil's Club. Devil's Club looks really scary. It really is a scary plant. It's scary to harvest because it's these rhizomes that grow deep into the earth. And it grows up into these, it's not really a tree, but it's as tall as a small tree. And they grow to be about 7 or 8 feet tall. And they have these big hand-like leaves on them that are covered in spikes. And they're terrifying. And yet, in order to harvest it, you just have to wear gloves. And
I would think
then
so.
Once you prepare it, it's extremely benign. I mean, it looks really scary, but it's the scariest part is the spikes on it. But it's very nutritious, and when you make it into tincture, it's really good for you. And I like to give it to people to help with blood sugar regulation, in addition to being a general alternative. It doesn't grow around here. You see it in the Northwest.
Oh.
We don't really see it in the North. Unless there's, if you know an Opalopanax, a Devil's Club stand, tell me about it. But, I'm familiar with it from being in the Northwest.
Devil's Club.
Devil's Club, yep. Right. So then there's rhodiola. Rhodiola is really nice. Rhodiola is an alternative that's also calming. And rhodiola is interesting in that it can help with altitude sickness. It helps you to breathe better. So it could be a good thing to take in the time of COVID. And rhodiola also helps with thyroid function. You can overdo rhodiola over time, but usually it's very benign. But it has that nice effect of being calming as well as it mood enhancing, and just helps your whole body in general. I like maca. Maca is actually, it's a potato. It's not a potato, but it's in the Solanaceae family, it's in the nightshade family. Mm-hmm. So people who avoid nightshades completely might not want to do maca if they're sensitive to nightshades. But if you can tolerate maca, it's very nice because it does definitely have hormonal balancing properties. As do the ginsengs. Most of these will balance your hormones to an extent, but maca is very nice in that. That is one of its properties, that if you're having any hormonal regulation issues, sex drive issues, it can help with that. All right, so this time of year, you might want to take a multivitamin or mineral, especially if you haven't dialed in your healthiest diet. Halloween's coming. The eating season is coming. Be careful with that eating season.
Yeah.
So this is a good time to get that multivitamin mineral in. And so it's just going to give you some backup support if you haven't dialed in your healthiest diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we said, Halloween is this Saturday. Cut back on sugar. Sugar, you'd be surprised how much sugar can be suppressive to your immune system, and sugar can make you more likely to get all kinds of symptoms, including increase your allergy symptoms. If you go on a sugar fast, you might find that after a couple of days, your allergy symptoms are almost gone. Sugar and dairy. And this is not because of allergies. This is because of a basic inflammatory response that we have to sugar and dairy. Sugar, there's a lot of reasons why that happens. One of them is it changes your gut flora, and gut flora are part of your immune system. So if your gut flora is predominantly more unfriendly bacteria and yeasts, you're not going to have as much room for the good guys that help to protect your immune system. Cut back on dairy, which we said, which can give you symptoms even if you're not allergic. We said it can thicken your mucus. It can make you feel like you have more mucus in your nose and your throat. Avoid any food intolerances, any foods that make you feel unwell in any way, whether you know you're allergic to them or not. If every time you eat broccoli, it makes you sick, don't eat it. It's okay. You heard that here. If a food is generally thought to be healthy and you feel awful every time you eat it, you don't have to eat it. You really don't.
Isn't that sort of like when you put your hand on the hot oven, on the hot stove? And...
But some people eat foods that they really love, but it makes them sick. And a good example of that is gluten. You know, people love to eat bread and pasta and rice and people love to eat gluten, and gluten makes a lot of people sick. So it's a good idea to figure out what your food intolerances are. Because figuring out your food intolerances can make you less likely to have immune problems and less likely to have allergy symptoms. Use a neti pot or nasal spray, or use a neti pot to clear your nose of pollen, mold, dust, viruses, and bacteria. So if you flush your nose out all the time, there's going to be less stuff in there, and there's going to be less stuff to make you sick. Use a nasal spray, and I'm not talking about a steroid nasal spray. Now, sometimes people need to use an occasional steroid nasal spray because there's nothing else that seems to reduce the inflammation. But I would say use that once and then try to use other things. You can use nasal sprays that have saline, oregano. So salt, very simply salt. If it's got a higher concentration of salt than what's in your body, it's going to tend to draw fluid out of your nose and out of your tissues. And it also will tend to cause an osmotic effect on any microorganisms that are in your nose. So it's a very simple way to kill microorganisms that are in your nose, whether it's mold, dust, or bacteria or viruses or fungus. Oregano is a great antimicrobial. It kills viruses, bacteria, mold. Silver hydrosol. Silver hydrosol also can be very helpful for microbes, for hard to get microbes. Silver hydrosol can be helpful for Marcans, which is bacteria. It's a staph bacteria that's hard to kill. Coagulase negative staph. Anyway. And then grapefruit seed extract is also good at killing a lot of different things, and that can show up in nasal sprays as well. Xylitol is a sugar alcohol that can be extracted from fruits and vegetables, and xylitol tastes sweet. You can use it as a sweetener. It's in a lot of tooth care products because it breaks up biofilm, which is what the protein that bacteria produce to protect them. And xylitol, because it breaks up biofilm, it'll break up biofilm in your nose. It'll also break it up in your mouth if you gargle with it or swish with it. Various essential oils. There are a lot of essential oils that can be helpful. Thyme, thymol, menthol, peppermint, eucalyptus, lavender, rosemary, all can be helpful. And if you're putting them in your nose, you have to make sure they're very dilute. So if you're doing a neti pot, you want one drop of any of those things in your, you never put straight essential oils in your nose. Gargling is extremely important. If you clean your nose, you should really gargle right after, because some of the stuff that you put in your nose can get to the back of your throat. So you want to help to release that from your throat. So gargling is you're going to agitate anything that's sitting back there, because viruses and bacteria tend to collect there. All right. Alkylol is a mixture of essential oil, salt, and benzoin. You can get it at the drugstore. You can mix it with your xylitol or saline nasal spray, and you can add it to a salt water gargle. The company recommends that you vary the strength of the solution based on the severity of your symptoms. So for a basic everyday solution, you're looking at a quarter to a half alkylol to another mixture of. So what I'm doing is I'm using half alkylol to half xylitol nasal spray. So I'm doing a 50-50 mixture of that, and that's what I spray in my nose every day. If you have a bad sinus infection, you can use it full strength or you can use it three-quarter strength. But follow the instructions on the bottle and use. You should always use whatever you're taking or using. You should always be using the lowest effective dose. But that's an interesting mixture. The nice thing about it is that it's pre-mixed and you can get it at most drugstores. Optimize the humidity in your home. It should be around 30-50%. And so I was going to actually, maybe we'll talk about that next week, humidity.
Yeah, you're running low.
And get more rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're feeling sleepy, take an extra nap, do a little less stuff. Make sure you take some time. I know that one of the things you tend to do this time of year is you tend to scramble, because winter is coming. So you tend to scramble and get stuff done to batten down the hatches. So you're going to be more comfortable in your home. You make sure the wood is done. You take care of the leaves before the snow comes. So all kinds of stuff you tend to do, and you tend to run around and get that stuff done.
Mm.
But it's also important to lie around. So getting rest, then your adrenals can function. Your adrenals and your detoxification systems can all run around and take care of your body instead of you focusing on running around.
Hmm.
So, all right. So yeah. I think I'm going to, that's some advice for you to take care of your allergies this time of year. And allergies can be a problem in the fall.
Yes,
so,
they are.
You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch-ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org. Happy Halloween!